Tŷ Gwyn used to be the stables for Plasw Groeddyn. It was in this building that Captain Williams taught the young Ken Rowlands his hammock drill. He once gave Ken some very heavy binoculars to hold and arranged with Nelson Johnson's mother that she would hold an envelope up by the gate of Mount Pleasant on the other side of the village facing the Plas. When Ken looked through the binoculars, he could read the address on the envelope quite clearly. At this time, the empty stables were used for storing logs and had a simple cobbled floor. Rhyw Awel sits proudly up on the hillside overlooking the village and facing directly up the valley towards Corris and Cadair Idris. Originally a moderately sized cottage from about the 18th century, a substantial extension was added to it in the 19th century, built from slate from the local quarry. There were also once further buildings to the right in what is now the garden. When Julia was a child in the 1950s and 60s, she remembers Mr. and Mrs. Ivor Jones living there with their daughter Olwen Ivona. Arevall is one of the oldest houses in Esgygeiliog, certainly 17th century, possibly older. The left-hand end was the original, very small cottage. Later, an outbuilding, possibly a cowshed, was added, and after that, a low single-storey blacksmith's forge was tacked on to the end. At some time, we think in the 19th century, the cowshed was converted to human living quarters. The wall between it and the smithy was taken out and rebuilt entirely, with the addition of two chimney flues and fireplaces, one upstairs and one downstairs. After 150 years, that wall is still freestanding with no foundations whatsoever and nothing tying it to its neighbouring walls, front and back. The smithy also has been extended a couple of times, only upwards. The last time, at about the beginning of the 20th century, was when the whole length of the building was raised to a single roof level, giving 8-foot high ceilings throughout the upper floor, a common standard at that time. The trees behind the house were cut down in the war and taken to a sawmill in Pennell. The lorry driver's name was Emlyn. In the 1840s, Ivan and Anne Davies lived here with their 5-year-old son, Ivan. Mr. Davies was a blacksmith and he employed two apprentices, Ivan Jones and Peter Peters. As there were Peters living in Blaengleser at the time, it is quite possible that Peter was from there. At the beginning of the 20th century, Ivan Rowlands was born here. Between the wars, Mr. and Mrs. Jarvis and their family came to live in Arevall, or Awelon as it was then known. Mr. Jarvis travelled to Corris every day where he ran a bakery. In 1940, when the Jarvises moved to Corris, Joseph Jones and his wife got married and moved into Awelon. Joe, as he was known, worked as a carpenter on the railway and used his skills to good effect, doing a lot of repairs and improvements to the house. In 1990, Ray and Julia Gunn bought the property, moving from their home in 2 Era Terrace, Esgygeiliog. They changed the name from Awelon to Arevall as a reminder to people of its history. During renovations to the old forge, Ray discovered the foundations and even the ash pits of the forge under the floor. The ashes and cinders of the last fire were still in the ash pit, and amongst them were several artefacts that the blacksmith had thrown under the fire in the last days of its use as a forge. They included a horseshoe, a couple of gate latches, and some large handmade nails. The original floor of the forge had been of simple bare beaten earth, undulating unevenly where the most wear had occurred. The coal had been stored in the corner to the left of the fireplace under the bellows. The pulleys from which the bellows hung are still there today under the ceiling. Julia's grandmother, Margaret Rowlands, who lived most of her life in the village from the 1920s to the 1990s, said the forge used to be a meeting place for the men of the village, where they would play cards, discuss the events of the day, and even the odd tooth would be pulled out, all by the warmth of the fire. Ray and Julia undertook all the renovations and building work at Arevall entirely by themselves. Because of a serious dry rot problem, this involved digging up all of the floors downstairs and some of the floors upstairs, stripping all the plaster off the walls and replacing all the old wooden lintels over all the doors and windows with new concrete lintels. When everything remaining had been thoroughly injected and sprayed to the surveyor's satisfaction, it was time to start rebuilding again. If the house had been left another year, it would have been almost beyond repair. After relaying the floors and the slate slabs came the plastering, the plumbing, the wiring and some carpentry. Every door frame and door had to be made to measure because no two openings were the same height or width. As soon as the inside was habitable, the outside rendering needed stripping off and the walls repointing and the chimneys repairing. We considered it all well worthwhile, however, as the house has now been saved for a few more generations to enjoy. Once the house was finished, we turned our attention to the garden and can now enjoy the fruits of our labour for a few years, hopefully. To the left of Pine View is the wooden building, the pay office for the Rhiwgraeddin quarry. The quarry workmen would queue up on payday before climbing up the steps to receive their pay in the little cubicle in the front doorway. Inside it is well appointed with varnished matchboard panelling and a parlour-type fireplace. Richard and Elizabeth Rowlands lived in Pineview between the wars. When Richard was thinking of buying a car, he wanted somewhere safe to keep it. He enlisted the help of Tom Rowlands and John Davis to dig out the bank beside the house and to build a garage. They tipped all the soil they dug out across the road into the corner of the field. When the car arrived, Richard kept it propped up on blocks to stop flats forming on the polished tyres. It only came out once a week to go shopping. Very proud of his car was Richard. Elizabeth Rowlands kept a shop and post office at Pineview in the 1940s. Sometimes, if she had to go away somewhere, she would leave Richard in charge. However, Richard was not always sure just what she kept there, or where. One day, Jimmy Luke, picture writer, a real character in the village, heard that Richard was alone in the shop. He saw Ken Rowlands passing and asked him to run to the shop with an urgent order for 6 pence worth of skyhooks. Ever one to oblige, Ken did as he was asked. Well, Richard turned the shop upside down looking for these hooks. When Elizabeth came home, he was up a stepladder, pulling everything off the top shelves, his white coat filthy and all in disarray. When he told her what he was looking for, she went mad. "There's no such thing, you fool," she screamed. "Just look at the state of my shop. Wait till I get my hands on that Jimmy Luke." Ken, of course, had by this time nipped quickly out the door and scarpered. Something about shooting the messenger. Pineview was built at the end of the 19th century for a senior official of Rhiwgraeddin Quarry. It is solid and well built with high ceilings and some fine features. By the 1970s though, it had become a little run down and in need of a pick-me-up. George and Margaret Dibble bought Pineview in about 1980 with some friends. In about 1991, the retaining wall next to the garage that Richard Rowlands had built before the war started to collapse. George and Margaret, along with Margaret's brother-in-law Gordon and his wife Eileen, dismantled it and, reusing the same stone, plus a little bit more, rebuilt it during a week's holiday. In the early 1880s, Brindilas was occupied by David and Eleanor Edwards and their 4 children, William, Jane, Thomas and Richard. He was a joiner and his workshop was a substantial building in the garden to the left and rear of the house. 10 years later, only his widow and daughter Jane were there. Edward Thomas Evans had been a gardener at Panthido near Pennell. While working there, he met a maid, Catherine Jane Rowlands. Romance followed and they made plans to marry. Although Edward already owned Acre Cottages, now called Isacoid, he obviously thought Catherine Jane was worth something better, for he bought Brindilas as their future marital home. They moved into it in the 1920s and lived there until the end of their days. Edward died in 1967 and Catherine died in 1982. In 1937, when Catherine's father, John Rowlands, died, her brother Lewis John Rowlands came to live with them, and he also remained there until he died.